Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Somebody say signs,
signs.
And wonders. Signs and wonders. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, you may have your seats. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Glory to God. Woo. Amen, amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. I don't know about you. I needed that. Amen. I needed that extra, that surplus of worship. Amen. I had an awesome day today. I was at our friend, good friend, Pastor D.A. Sharon. Today was his birthday celebration. And I was over by him this morning at 9:30. Gave the word of the Lord to him and his house. They were blessed. Amen. Last week we were by another church. I want to give honor to all those that come and said you guys accompanied me last week and this week. Amen. The worship team, they wrecked the place last week where we were. So much so that they want them to stay. They were asking for them this week. And they want us to come back again before a month is over. So we'll see if we can make that happen. Amen. Tribes have been going on. I heard you guys have been. I saw one of the tribes last week on Wednesday working out. One of the tribes are having a workout session in their backyard. Yeah. I said I was going to pay a visit, but when I heard they were working out, I said I'll come the week after. Amen. I'm happy to see so many fun things are happening around the community. I want you guys to really plug into the community of what's happening in the life of the church. Because there's so much that you can receive just by being present in a tribe or in a community. You know, there's a blessing that comes through the preaching, there's a blessing that comes through prayer, and there's a blessing that comes through association. You know that there are impartations that are released just through associating yourself with the right people. You know, when you rub, you know, there's something, when you rub shoulders with certain people, something rubs off on you. You know that? And so, sometimes the enemy loves to keep people isolated and standoffish and be like, I don't want to connect, I don't want to be around, you know, too many people. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why people love coming to cities like New York City. There's a reason why people love coming to New York City, the Big Apple. Because when you come into communities like ours, the exchange of ideas, the exchange of solutions, and people begin to connect with each other, there is a synergy that takes place that happens in cities like ours, where people can advance and accelerate their lives in ways that they can't in other places. That's why you go to the South, it's like everybody's so slow, and New York is so fast and quick. Why? Because there's a bouncing off of ideas. There's an impartation that's being released in this place. Amen. If you look at me, I want you to raise up one finger like this. Everyone, raise up one finger. Say, Lord, I want to be your one, your sign, and your wonder. Say it again. Say, I want to be your sign and your wonder in the earth. Amen. We're stepping into a new day, and we're stepping into a new season here, a new series in our church. We're getting ready for our summer, our big summer. Here at H4G, summers are a big deal. because what happens in the summer, we spend less time in church and more time in the streets. And the whole point is that we go into the streets because we want to introduce people to who God is, the reality of God. And we go out and we simply love people, we bless people, and we desire to introduce people to his kingdom. So summers are less about us and more about others. Amen. It should be like that every day, but we intentionally use our summers to focus less on ourselves and more on others. And it's important that we become more aware of the world around us. I heard a quote a few years back that said, a church must measure its success not by what happens in the four walls, but what's going on outside of their walls. That the true measure of success of a church is what's happening outside because of us. That if our cities and our communities are not better because of what we're doing in here, then we're doing something wrong. I want you to talk back to me. If you're not taking part of what's happening in the landscape of the world or society around you, you're doing something wrong. You know what's our newspaper? The newspaper or the news is actually the report card of the church. I went over 20 people said just now. CNN, Channel 9 News, that's our report card. If you don't like what's going on in the news, guess who God is looking for? Not Donald Trump, not your mayors, not even the cops. When God was angry at Sodom and Gomorrah and he was getting ready to destroy that city, who did God come to? He came to Abraham. He didn't come to the king. He didn't come to the governor. He came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, tell me where the righteous are. If you show me the righteous, I won't destroy this city. But because the righteous are not there, the city, this is the city's fate. We have this weird fixation that when we see bad things going on in the world, we step back and say, oh, look, Jesus is coming back soon. We got this weird idea that when bad things are happening, that's a good thing. We say, Lord, take me out of here. I'm ready to go home. And I mentioned on one of our Tuesday nights, the problem is because of bad religion, bad erroneous teachings, we have our destination confused with our assignment. Our destination is that we're going to heaven. But our assignment, as long as we are on earth, is to bring heaven to earth. And as long as we are here, there should be signs of the reality of the kingdom before he comes back. So we're going to talk about signs and wonders. And we're going to talk about how the objective of this series is to, one, restore our faith to see the supernatural in our midst. You see, when I started Hungry for God, the Bible study back in the day, I had no other desire other than seeing the reality of God manifested in my life. I had no other desire. I didn't start Hungry for God because I wanted to just have a Bible study and we talk about the word. That's okay, but that was already happening in thousands and thousands and thousands of churches. What I wanted to see was that I wanted to see in my lifetime what God said in his word will manifest in the earth. I wanted to see healings more often. I wanted to see miracles more often. I wanted God to use me in the way that he said he will use us. That greater works than these shall we do. I don't know about you, but that's the nature of our ministry, being hungry for God. That we'll be hungry for the results. We'll be hungry for the evidence. We'll be hungry for the proof that God is truly real. And the only way that happens is if we see signs and wonders. I want you to turn with me really quick to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to get deep, and I guarantee that I'm going to make many of you uncomfortable with this series, because I'm going to stir up a deeper hunger in you to see God use you. To see God use you. I want to activate a lifestyle of miracles in your life and the life of the church. As a matter of fact, we came on about grace series, and we all got excited about grace, you know, God's unconditional love and his favor and all this stuff. Right after the series, God said to me, now, a church that's full of grace will also be a church that's full of signs and wonders. Because he says signs and wonders is the manifestation of grace. And our praise is going to be based on the manifestation of grace, the manifestation of his presence and his power. And tradition has lulled us into thinking that coming to church and just showing up and giving out our offerings was all that God requires of us. But I want to show you the type of believer Jesus is looking for. The type of believer that he had in mind before he left this earth. Before I go any further, I just want to salute my dad is in the house from St. Vincent. He's here with us. So I get my good looks from. Amen. All right, let's get into the word. John chapter 4, verse 46. When you have it, say, I'm ready. Here we go. John 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. I want you to highlight that if you can. Put a pen mark, highlight it, whatever. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Remember, he got out the way. And the Bible says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, sir, your son lives. And then he inquired of them, what hour did he get better? And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. He himself believed, and his whole household, they got saved in one sign. They got saved in one miracle. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Amen. So, we're having a conversation about signs and wonders, and this is not so much me wanting to, this message in the series, I don't know how this is going to flow, because it might just start breaking out while I'm preaching, so I don't know how God is going to specifically move as we go forward, but I want to define what this looks like, and I want to make it real plain, because I'm going to activate you in this word, okay? Now look at what Jesus said in verse 44, He said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You know, signs are a part of our lives. That many of us, as we live, we go through life looking for signs. Everybody looks for signs. For example, you might have heard somebody say, you know, you're looking for the sign that you're in a right relationship. Somebody usually comes and he asks you, like, you know, how do I know that I'm in the right relationship? How do I know that this is the person that should be my spouse, that I want to give the rest of my life to? What are the signs I should look for in a husband? or in a wife. When you're on the highway, you look for the signs in order to know whether or not you should get off at the right exit. The signs help point to you that you should make an exit. That you know when to make an exit when you see a sign. Or how about, you know, there might be signs in your health or your physical body. You look for signs to know whether your body is functioning correctly or if it's not. What are the signs when you know you might have the flu? What do you know what to look for? Fevers, you feel weak, you lose your appetite, right? You know the signs and say, hey, wait a minute, that sounds like a flu. What are the signs that you might have cancers or something growing in your body? You look for the doctors come and they check to see if there might be any lumps, right? Come on, talk back to me. I'm talking to you. So, you look for the signs. You know what to look for. In the natural, you know what to look for to say. You see, signs, and I want you to write this down, signs are a reality that point to a greater reality. Write that down. Signs are a reality that point to a greater reality. When you're on the Belt Parkway or you're on the highway and you see exit 20 or exit whatever, and you see the street name, you don't drive into the sign. You know that the sign is indicating that there's an exit after the sign. Right? The signs are reality that's pointing to a greater reality. Okay? So, Jesus said, unless you people, talking about unbelievers, unless you see signs, you won't believe. Has it occurred to you that Jesus understood the nature of signs? He started preaching about a kingdom to come. He started preaching about a world to come. He started preaching about a God who is good and a God who loves people, a God who sent him to save and to heal and deliver. But he didn't just stop at the words, did he? He had signs to accompany what he preached in order to indicate that there is a greater reality coming. That when people experience the signs, like this man whose son was about to die, and Jesus said, go your way, your son lives, and the boy got healed, the Bible says that this man chose to believe and accept the sign that there is something greater about him. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. What if Jesus never did any signs and wonders? What if Jesus just went around and preached from church to church and synagogue to synagogue and saw no signs and wonders? Will we still believe that he was the Son of God? Don't we talk about his miracles and we talk about the extraordinary things, the supernatural things he's done? Isn't that what his legacy consists of? John 3 verse 2 tells us that when Nicodemus saw Jesus, the Bible says that Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, came to him and said, sir, we know that you are a rabbi or a teacher sent from God, because no one can do the signs that you do unless God was with him. They knew that he was sent from God because of the signs and wonders. How about, look at this really quick, Acts chapter 4. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. No, Acts 2. Sorry, let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 22. When Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, one of the things he mentioned about Jesus, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, not a God, but a man, although he was God, he lived as a man attested by God to you by what? Miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. It's important that you realize that everything Jesus did not do them as God. He did them as a man. It's important you recognize this, because if you don't, you will excuse yourself from the God factor that is supposed to be manifesting in your life. You will begin to say, well, he was Jesus, and I'm just plain on me. I'm only human. I can't do what Jesus did. When the truth was, Jesus lived as a man anointed by God to do the works he did. Why? To set an example for you and me today that the same works I do, you can do, and even greater works than these. Why? Because I'm giving you the same Holy Spirit that was on me to do the works that I did. He didn't do them, the Bible says. God did them through him in your midst. Come on. So that's why when we talk about he came in the flesh, it's so important that God came in the flesh, because he came and he reduced himself. He limited himself to carnality, to humanity. He came and he lived just like us. The Bible says that he was tempted just like every other man. And the same Bible says God cannot be tempted. So he was not tempted in his divinity. He was tempted in his humanity. Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers. You know, Jesus was asleep on a boat during a storm. Come on. How else do we know that Jesus was a man? He was born. How else do we know that he's a man? He died. God can't die. He's the beginning and the end, right? He cannot die. But when Jesus came, God sent his son in the form and likeness of humanity so that he would live a life that was not beyond your means. But he came to live a life that was actually supposed to be the way you were supposed to live from the beginning. But something was lost. Something was missing. Our communion and our connection and our relationship to Almighty God that allows us to walk in the supernatural. Come on, the supernatural is in your inheritance. If God created you in his image and likeness, that means you're supposed to look like him and live just like him. That's why God is your dad, right? God is your father. That's what Jesus taught us, right? When you pray, say, our what? Our Father. Why? Because you're born again after his nature. You've been born again after his kind. So you can do the same works that God can do. Come on. Now let's go back. Let's look at this really quick. So signs are reality that point to a what? Greater reality. Jesus needed signs. He used signs. And he also anticipated that his followers and his believers will also walk in signs and wonders. Look at Mark 16 really quick. I'm going to show you from the Word. Mark 16, verse 17. Hurry up, Mark 16, verse 17. Mark 16, verse 17. All right. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. You know what? Before we go there, sorry, go back to verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned, all right? What are we supposed to believe? Remember, he said, you people will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. So once again, when Jesus has given the church the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he never anticipated the gospel being preached without signs and wonders. So he says, those who believe, not just in the message, but in the signs. Hello. Jesus also said about himself. He said, in one conversation with the Pharisees, he says, even if you don't believe in me, believe in the works. And it also means that if you have no works, they don't have to believe your message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the what? The what? Say it with me. Say power. The power of God. Paul was not ashamed to preach the gospel because he saw the power. You will be ashamed to tell people about the good news of God and his kingdom if you don't know the message really works. You will be ashamed of a powerless gospel. And it is something to be ashamed of if there's no power. It's a mockery without power. To tell people good news that you have no power to back up. To tell people you're going to be healed, but you got no power to heal them. To tell people you're going to be blessed out of your financial circumstances, but you got no power to alter the reality of their circumstances. Come on. We need power. God never anticipated a powerless gospel to be preached, a powerless church, or a powerless believer. That's why he sent power from on high in the name of the Holy Ghost, so that when he comes upon you, you shall have power, and you shall go to all the ends of the earth preaching this message and demonstrating the reality of God's good news, that his kingdom is at hand, that his kingdom is coming, and then there was a world after this world, that you don't got to put all your eggs in the basket of this life. Because there is another world to come, church, that God is saving us and redeeming us to, reconciling us to. Come on. So go back to, he says, if you believe and you are baptized, you will be saved. Say, I'm saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. All right? Next verse. Now watch this. Now these are the signs that will follow. Not might follow. Not may follow. But what? Will follow. Follow who? Those who believe. So if you're the believer that God has in mind, these are the things you're going to start doing. What did he say you'll do? In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. These are all signs. Next one. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. These are signs that you are a believer. He didn't say these are the signs of the pastor. He didn't say these are the signs of the bishop. He didn't say this is the sign of the TV preacher or the evangelist that comes to town from time to time. He said these are supposed to be the signs of the believer. Come on. That's you and me. You don't need a title for this. You don't need a position for this, church. This is your right. This is your inheritance once you have become a believer. These are the signs that your family members, these are the signs that your neighbors, these are the signs that your friends, these are the signs that your co-workers, this is what the world needs to see to know that you truly are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you do, if you have any other means to try to present the gospel, then you are in disobedience to God's way. This is the means that God wants to take to reveal himself. So if you don't like casting out demons, you don't like being a follower of Jesus. So today people don't even believe that the reality of demons. You don't even want to accept that. People don't want to believe the devil is real. Much less demons. See? And unless we change our perspectives and change the way we think about life, if we don't see things from God's point of view, then we're going to be void of the reality of God's power and his presence. God is not going to deliver you. I think Trey wrote this on his Facebook page. You can't pick and choose how God is going to deliver you. You can't pick and choose the way God is going to save you. But it also means that we can't pick and choose the way God wants us to live our lives. He set a standard for us. And he said, these are the signs that will follow. Now look at this. Keep reading. Verse 19, it gets better. So then after the Lord spoke to them, he was received into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Now if he was sat down, then he means he has all confidence that what he said is going to happen. Come on. Before he comes back, there are going to be believers all around the world operating in signs and wonders. That's going into all the world, telling people about the good news of the kingdom to come, and you're going to have the power to prove it and back it up. The Lord spoke to them. He was received into heaven, sat down, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Hey! So you see what happened? They heard his message. They believed it. They started talking about it. See, there's two things I want to point out to you. One, you have to preach it before you see it. I have to preach this to you before you start seeing it. Because you're going to get what you preach. That's a secret I've learned. Whatever you preach, you start seeing. So just the fact that I'm preaching about signs and wonders means you're getting ready to experience a manifestation of God's kingdom in your life. You're going to start seeing signs and wonders. Hallelujah. You can sit there and not believe, or you can rejoice and say, Lord, I receive. Come on. If you're full of grace and truth, it means you got access to signs and wonders. How many of you right now know some people that need some deliverance because they got some demons that's tormenting them, that's driving them up the walls? They got some demons that are driving them, that they have patterns and addictions in their lives that cannot be broken because they need the supernatural power of God to set them free. Come on. I know people that work in the G building, and they told me straight up, these things are not natural. Some of them are not even believers. But we know that there is something more to this than just some natural medical imbalance of the mind. We can't explain it. All right? We need the power. We need signs. We need wonders. Do you know that Jesus said there will be signs that will be present before he comes? The kingdom of God won't come until these signs are active everywhere. The signs of the time, the signs of the kingdom, the signs of his coming. He said when they preached this, the Lord went with them, working with them, and confirming the word they preached through accompanying signs and wonders. If church, if we're not seeing signs and we're not seeing wonders, then that means the Lord isn't working with us. That means we're working on our own merits. We're trying to get things done in our own strength. Church, I want God working with us. I want to see the supernatural. I want to see the manifestation of God. I don't want people coming hungry for God and getting a manifestation of self. I want them to see a manifestation of God. Come on. People are hungry. People need this. And they need you because the signs and wonders are going to flow through you. Hallelujah. Churchy, religious people will sit here and be like, I know all that stuff. I heard that already. But now I'm challenging you. Where are the signs and wonders in your life? You don't know what you don't experience. So you heard this verse before, but where are the signs and wonders? How many demons have you cast out in the past 4 years? How many people have you laid hands on the sick and seen them recover in the past year? How frequent should these signs be manifested? Once in a blue moon? When revival comes? How often should this be happening? I've gone past the mentality that revival comes and then we see all this stuff happens. No, this is supposed to be the normal Christian life. Acts 2. One more scripture. Acts chapter 2. Watch this. Hallelujah. So we saw some of the signs, right? He said he will cast out. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down the signs that Jesus said will come or manifest as a result of you being a believer. And according to Mark 16, was that you will cast out demons, number one. You will speak in new tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 actually tells us that speaking in tongues is a sign not for the believer but for the unbeliever. Do you know that sign? Have you ever realized, according to God's perspective, speaking in tongues is a sign? Remember, it's a sign. It's a reality that points to a greater reality. If you meet somebody outside who's speaking another language other than English, what are you going to think about them? They're not from here. They're from another country. It's a sign that they're not from your country. When people hear you speaking in tongues, it's supposed to be a sign that you are not of this world. That the language you speak another language. Wait a minute. Where are you from? Have you ever practiced walking down the street speaking in tongues? Anybody? So you probably never did that yet. If you heard somebody speaking from Czechoslovakia, some place you never heard the language probably, you probably been there speaking in tongues too. Because you don't know what they're saying. You don't know what that language is. So if you're walking down the street speaking in your heavenly language, they might stop and say, what language is that? It's heaven's language. What? The kingdom. What do you mean the kingdom? Boom! Ministry right there. Come on. It's a sign and a wonder. It's not a sign for us in the church. I'm not impressed by how much tongues you can speak in. And you see, signs are really for unbelievers. Once you're saved, you don't need signs. You already know the reality. But signs are there to help people make an exit. People see the sign and say, wait a minute, you're from another world? You operate another realm? You speak another language? You move a different way? You prayed and something happened? Come on, what is that? This is your opportunity to point them to the kingdom of God. People will not be saved. I want to show you this really quick. Acts 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's another sign. Prophecy is a sign and a wonder. Prophesying is signs. So God wants us to be a church where people prophesy. Your sons and daughters, even your children, church, should be prophesying. Our kids are going to be activated in prophecy. Sons and daughters, watch this. There's no age restriction or age barrier to the signs and wonders. Kids can move into stuff if we let them. Come on. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Seeing visions is another sign that heaven is manifesting, that the kingdom of God has come. Seeing visions, dreaming dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Dreaming dreams. He didn't say you will have dreams. You will dream dreams. That means you're going to dream dreams that God is going to give you. No, God has dreams. God has dreams. The ultimate dream of God right now is to see everything in earth as in heaven. That's his dream. That's his desire. That's his will. That's his plan. That's what God wants to see. You will dream dreams. And on men's servants. Now notice he said, young men, old men. There's no age restriction. Remember? On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on all day on in those days. So he said, servants will also have the spirit poured out on them, and they shall prophesy. So what he's saying is now there's not even a socioeconomic barrier between the outpouring of the spirit. That even slaves will move in the spirit. It doesn't matter in what condition you are. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your status in life. If you receive the outpouring, you will outwalk in signs and wonders. Hallelujah. He said, then servants will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. I'll get to that in another week. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke, different signs. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It means that there's even going to be signs in the skies. There are going to be signs in the earth. Come on, there are going to be signs and wonders all around the earth before Jesus comes back. And he says, watch this. Now, what's the point of it all? Next verse. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be. So the result and the fruit of signs and wonders manifesting is that people will begin to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. There will be an increase of salvation, a dramatic shift of salvations and conversions in people's lives once signs and wonders are restored in the church. Come on, where are the signs and wonders gone? Where have they gone? How come we don't see the same results that we've seen in Jesus' life and in the church, in the early church? Why don't we see the same manifestations today? Where are the signs and wonders gone? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if God is a God of signs and wonders, if God is a God of awe, if God is a God who knows no limitations, no impossibilities, where are the signs and wonders? Where are they? Does God not care about the afflictions of his people? Does God not care about the affairs of the world? Does God not want to intervene as he did before through his son? Where are the signs and wonders? Where are they? So much I want to say right now. But here's the point. People, Jesus said, need to see signs before they believe and call on his name to be saved. We don't see more people coming to church, wanting to call on the name of the Lord, wanting to be around the people of God, because they're not seeing the signs that you truly are a man or woman of God. If you know God and the Lord is working with you, signs and wonders must be following you. And if they're not following you, then it's time that you follow them before they start following you. It's time you get back to a point where you say, Lord, I need to see signs. See, if you're not hungry, the Bible says you won't be filled. If you have no expectation, then you won't see them. He didn't say if you behave, you'll see signs. He said if you believe. Your behavior is not a prerequisite for signs and wonders. You believe in the signs and wonders that this should manifest. You don't have to be perfect. Your character doesn't have to be 100% right. God is still working on you as he's working on me. But guess what? God is more concerned about seeing signs and wonders manifesting because he wants to see people saved. He says that it's not my desire that anyone shall perish. I want all men to be saved. But people just won't believe until they see signs and wonders. So guess what? Let's bring it to them. Let's show them the reality of God. Let's not explain away our need for the supernatural. You cannot go around this, church. You cannot have any form of evangelism that's void of the supernatural and expect people to truly believe in the name of Jesus. Come on. People need to see signs and wonders to know. Just like Jesus worked the works of the Father, you must work the works of the Father. Our young people will remain bored of God. They will remain uncaptivated by the church life if they don't see signs and wonders. Come on. Every generation needs to see it. Sons and daughters, young men, old men. Everyone needs to see the results of God's presence and power manifesting in your life. Come on. And if you are hungry for this, God says he's going to release signs and wonders in your life. You will begin to move in the supernatural. God says, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to empower you. But first, I need to educate you. Hallelujah. Come on. I got 8 claps. And those are the 8 people that's going to move in this stuff. Because you got to respond to the word. I don't spend a lot of time sermon prepping and, you know, trying to get the perfect word to say. Because the times that we're living in, people done heard preaching. And I cannot preach T.D. Jakes. I can't preach better than Sean Brady. I'm not trying to. What I'm trying to do is to bring you into an experience that once you encounter God for yourself, you will do the works that Jesus said you will do. See, it's not your good preaching that's going to save people. It's signs and wonders. Say, I want the grace of signs and wonders operating in my life. Come on, church. So these signs will follow you, church. They're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. They're waiting to manifest in your life. Signs and wonders are following you because you're a believer. It's just waiting for your faith. Remember, I said the supply of grace is given to you according to the demand of your faith. If you put no demand for this stuff, you won't see it. When you stand before a person and say, I'm going to pray for you, and right now I'm going to believe that you're going to be healed from your disease, that you're going to be healed from your sickness, that you're going to be delivered, that God is going to release something extraordinary, that God is going to do something strange, something that we can't even fathom right now. But you're going to know that when I pray for you, something is going to happen. Come on. And you pray with the expectation and the confidence that God will work with you. Confirming his word. Confirming what? His word. Yeah. So it starts with your words. You got to let people know. Listen, God is good. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. You know what? I'm going to prove it right now. I'm going to bring you into the reality. Watch this. And you pray. And you bring heaven. And you know that signs are following you. Signs are right behind you. See, it's not just goodness and mercy that's following you, church. Signs and wonders are following you. They're waiting to come to pass. Come on, who am I preaching to? How many of you need a sign and a wonder in your family? Come on, how many people need to see signs and wonders in your home right now? Come on, that's your loved one. That man saw a sign for his son and his whole household. His whole family was saved. Come on, all it takes is one. All it takes is one sign and a wonder. And God says today, you are a candidate to move in this life. Let's all stand and we're going to pray into this.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.